Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Today we delve into the charmingly defective, the elegantly botched, the gloriously suboptimal, and the perfectly imperfect. A word that would be attributed to my thought process, various films and productions I have been involved in, hard as it is to believe, when we place this twinkling diamond of memory under the loop of scrutiny, even the most strident supporters of the flouncy arts must admit, at times, my early performances were indeed flawed. The delicious irony is that it would take Uncle Will to come up with a word some 385 years before I would don a blousy shirt that would so accurately describe my performance in his Hamlet, as Hamlet, but I digress. It was not in his drama of his downcast Dane where William so perfectly described the imperfect. It was, in fact, his King Lear. A cheery little romp about filial betrayal, rampant madness, ocular mutilation, and the thrilling sport of intergenerational emotional devastation. In Act 5, Scene 3, Edgar, who has spent most of the play disguised as a mud-caked lunatic, finally doffs the disguise and offers a bit of retrospective storytelling to his dying brother, Edmund, the very architect of his misery.
The bloody proclamation to escape that followed me so near, oh, our lives' sweetness, that we, the pain of death, would hourly die rather than die at once, taught me to shift into a madman's rags, to assume a semblance that very dogs disdained, and in this habit met I my father with his bleeding rings, their precious stones new lost, became his guide, led him, begged for him, saved him from despair. Never, our fault, revealed myself under him until some half hour passed when I was armed. Not sure, though hoping of this good success, I asked his blessing and from first to last told him our pilgrimage. But his flawed heart, alack, too weak the conflict to support. 'Twixt two extremes of passion, joy and grief, burst smilingly.
Edgar, who was falsely branded a traitor by his treacherous half-brother Edmund, escapes death by donning the guise of poor Tom, a lunatic so convincingly filthy that even dogs gave him a wide berth. He recounts as he stumbled upon his blinded father, Gloucester. Thanks, Cornwall. And rather than revealing himself, as would be perfectly reasonable, he opts for a bit of protracted suffering. He guides, begs for, and saves his father from suicide, all without so much as a hint of recognition. Only just before the scene, now in armor and honor restored, does Edgar finally confess the truth to his father. And so profound is his joy and grief, Gloucester's heart, too weak and overwhelmed with grief and joy, or as William so succinctly puts it, flawed, explodes in a fatal family reunion. The etymology of flawed is derived from the noun flaw, rather obviously, but flaw seems to be derived from the Old Norse flaga, meaning stone or slab, and would later be used to describe a splinter or flake. And this makes perfect sense when we think of flint napping, finding the flaw within the stone to strike it into flakes or splinters. So with this chipped fragment, hopefully we have thrown a spark into your tinder bundle of a brain and blew to life a warm fire of understanding. Or is my reasoning flawed? Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by the generous support of the Cowie Family Charitable Trust and Michelle and Kelvin McElwain. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc and wherever you get your podcasts.